Italian Wine Podcast. Cin cin with Italian wine people.
Italian Wine Podcast, as Wine to Wine 2020 media partner,
is proud to present a series of sessions chosen to highlight key themes and ideas
and recorded during the two-day event
held on November 23rd and 24th, 2020.
Wine to Wine 2020 represented the
first ever fully digital edition of the Business to Business Forum. Visit winetowine.net
and make sure to attend future editions of Wine to Wine Business Forum.
So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Piero Mastro Berardino. I'm the owner of Mastro Berardino Winery, and I'm also a full professor of business management in Italian State University. And I also am the president of the Istituto Grandi Marchi, Premium Brands of Italy. It's a pleasure to be here and to introduce Artyom Lebedev, that is the president of Kazakhstan Sommelier Association, who we left today a session that is dedicated to his country and to what is happening in this part of the world concerning the wines and wine business. So in a very few words, I would like to ask Artyom Lebedev to introduce himself and to start his presentation that we will follow with great interest. Of course, we will have a chat on the other platform. We have a chat available for all the discussants in order to get answers and to have the possibility for Artyom to give questions, to give answers to these questions on the chat or live, of course. So Artyom, it's a great pleasure to have you here, and please start your presentation.
Yeah, hello, Piero. First of all, thank you very much for this opportunity to make the session with you. It's a great pleasure. I'm a very big fan of your winery and of Italian wine and of the wine culture at all. And we can start, I think, probably. Can you see my presentation? Can you see my screen with the presentation? Yeah, excellent. So my name is Artyom Lebedev. I'm the president of Kazakhstan Sommelier Association and WCT diploma holder from Wine Academy Österreich and certified sommelier and a big Italian wine lover and wine ambassador. So I would like to say like a few words, 20-minute speech about the Kazakhstan and the surrounding countries and regions and what happened here. So today's topic, you can see it on the screen. So what is Kazakhstan? Where is Kazakhstan? I will explain, make a little historical overview of the region, of the Great Steppe. I will explain what is it if you don't know what I'm speaking about. So I will explain a little bit about modern times in terms of the terroir, in terms of wine and other beverage production, about, of course, consumption, because it's for this session, I think it's even more important, about local wine business, about like this region, Kazakhstan and surroundings, most underrated wine region, wine consumption, wine production region of the world, for me personally, and about like the future of the Almaty city as the future wine capital of this region of Middle or Central Asia. And then with great pleasure, I will answer your questions if there will be any. So let's start. So what is Kazakhstan and where is Kazakhstan? It's a very huge country. First of all, it's number 9 in the world and number 1 in the world landlocked, if we're speaking about landlocked country. So the area is huge. You can see where is it. It's from the south of Russia and border the Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan in the south. Border with China on the eastern part, very close to Mongolia, and on the western part it borders the Caspian Sea. A lot of people told about it's like a Caspian lake, but it's sea. And after the lake we have Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and etc. So it's Kazakhstan is about 18 million people, 18 million residents, and a little bit growing every year. But with this huge area, this amount of people is very, very low. So we have six people per square kilometer. It's one of the most low amount in the world, in the whole world. So since 1997, the capital is Nur Sultan. A few years ago, the name was Astana. It was changed, and it was moved from Almaty, from the city which I'm speaking about now. And Almaty is largest city. So the Nur Sultan is the capital, and Almaty is the largest city. And the most important thing in terms of local economy is that Kazakhstan has a lot of natural resources of deposit of different minerals, gas, and etc. So it could be very, very, very powerful if the money will be spent in the best way, not like now. But I think a lot of people know this situation. So now let's speak a little bit about the history. So I think you know that the cradle of the vine culture, cradle of vine production, is Caucasus Mountains, for instance, like Georgia, Armenia, Turkey, Iran, maybe. So from this cradle of vine, the vine culture started to like 6,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago. The vine culture start to go to all the directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. Of course, to the north is not good for vitis, for vine production, but the way on the west and the way on the east was very, very significant because there was the Silkway road going through Caucasus. So now we can switch to the map of the Kazakhstan, and we can see this situation. So the Caspian Sea and Caucasus on the left, on the western part, and you can see that vine culture goes to the Kazakhstan from three sides: from the western part, immediately from Caucasus; from the southern part, from modern territory of Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, and from the eastern part, from China. So, yeah, the first evidence of vine culture traced back to the 7th century after death. And, it was the start, it was the beginning, but then there are almost no culture at all. If we speak about modern times, the vine culture starts with the USSR. When Kazakhstan in 1936 became part of USSR, then everything started from modern times. So, yeah, but USSR decided that the terroir of Kazakhstan is only suitable for production of sparkling vines and brandies mainly, like AKA Russian cognac. So what is the market? Few things about the market, about the production now. So the first of all, the thing, not good thing from which we should start, it's that there are absence of normal correct statistics in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is not a part of OED, is not a part of huge statistical boards. So we can't say any correct things. Yeah, this is the situation. So gathering of all the statistics in Kazakhstan is very difficult because we are only at the start of the road, of the vine road. So in terms of, if we try to speak about it, in terms of mass vine production, Kazakhstan produce very low quality entry-level vines from Georgian varieties like Rkacetelli, Sapiravi mainly, from European varieties, Riesling, Aligoté, Pinot Noir and Cabernet Franc are the first, and from some autochthonous varieties like Kuljinski, this variety of this region, local. Also some sparkling wines of not very good quality, and the brandies of average quality, not bad. And all of this is the heritage of Soviet Union era. So there are some local producers who trying to do something very good, but most of them are just import some bulk wine from southern countries, from Kyrgyzstan, from Uzbekistan, from some Eastern Europe, from Moldova, and try to produce the vine like it's Kazakh wine. But of course, it's not that. There are approximately four or five producers who trying to do to reach high quality of the wines, and the best producer is Arbo Wine. It's like the very good example. Their Rieslings, Pinot Noirs, and Cabernet Francs win numerous achievements in the market. So a lot of gold, silver, and platinum medals in different competitions. If we're speaking about other beverage, Kazakhstan is a strong vodka and beer producer. It was historically due to the Soviet Union, and it's also continued now. So it is the situation. And the market is very, very over-regulated. So it's very difficult to produce something. For instance, if you are small, like a garage producer of wine, you will die trying. It's very, very hard to do something. But now things are really started to change because, our politicians are going to Europe, see the situation in Europe, and trying to implement something at home. So I think we are in terms of production, we are really at the very beginning of the beautiful road, and we will see some excellent results soon. So if we speak about the terroir, Kazakhstan has a strong continental steppe climate. Nur-Sultan, you can see it on the northeastern part of the country. Nur-Sultan is the second coldest capital in the world after Mongolian Ulaanbaatar. So almost all the territory of Kazakhstan is continental. Cold with harsh winters, with the high precipitation, and it's impossible to grow something, anything. So only about 4% of the land of the Kazakhstan is suitable for good viticulture and other fruit growing and corn and everything growing. And this 4% we can separate on three zones. So the Caspian region, now there are no producers at all. Then Western Tenshan on the middle, the black ring on the middle. So it's on the border with Uzbekistan, and it's 50-50 Uzbek and Kazakh terroir. So from the both sides of the borders, there are some viticulture. And the best part is Tenshan mountains, Trans-Ili Alatau region. It's where Almaty is. So Almaty is the biggest city, the best wine producer, and also the most developed wine cultural region, wine city. So yeah, all the wine culture is situated on the south border of the country. There are 13 till 15,000 hectares under the vine, so it's 2.02% of the world viticulture. And in this 15,000 hectares, there are also the table varieties. So yeah, we are only starting this road. This is how it looks, the Iliske Alatau. So 43rd parallel, high altitude, almost up to 1,100 or 1,200 meters above the sea level. Strong continental climate with the cold breezes from the mountain at night. So we can save the acidity in the grapes. Yeah, you can see the soil. The rivers goes from the mountains and make alluvial stony sedimentation on the earth. So the terroir is like AKA Châtaignes du Pape. And we also have phylloxera still. And we have our own system of vine pruning. So we put the vine in the winter to the ground and borrow it under the ground because the winters are too harsh. So this is the situation. Here you can see just the photo of the vineyards. I think it's beautiful. So people now start to enjoy wine tourism, coming to the regions, understanding the wine culture. And it's not only help to the local producers, but to the whole vine culture, because people become more and more educated and understand what is the vineyards, what is the winery. This is the owner of Arbo Wine, excellent man, Zeynullah Kakimjanov. He is like the strong power for promotion of wine culture here in Kazakhstan. In terms of consumption, so again, absence of normal correct statistics. There are no statistics which we can be proud of, only something. But again, let's try to speak about it. So we have strong tradition of spirits consumption, and it's championed by vodka in the lower price segment, and of course, with whiskey and the cognac in the premium and the premium range. And trend is going down, in my opinion, because that the people who can drink strong alcohol, they are becoming too old, and the younger generations, they are more focused on their beer, wine, and cocktails. So in terms of wine consumption, we have 3.5 liters per capita. It's very low, of course, but it's mainly due to the fact that up to 65% of the population is Muslim, so they can't drink alcohol. Officially, at least. So the significant style of consumption is very demonstrative, like conspicuous consumption. So people trying to show to everybody that they can drink wine like Europeans. And if we speak about rich people, then they want to show everybody that they can drink expensive wines and alcohols. So the main consumption, wine consumption, of course, is situated in the big cities, Almaty, Nur-Sultan, Karaganda, Shymkent, Aktau, Atyrau, and a few more. So on other part of the country, it's almost completely undeveloped. So a lot of things to do. Approximately four from five consumption is local wine, and only one-fifth is imported. So the main imported countries are wine, of course. Countries is Georgia, Moldova, Italy, Ukraine, and Spain. And of course, the situation, if we speak about the more expensive wines, the situation will change. But the like 70% of consumption imported wines is under 5 euro shelf price here in Almaty. So it's approximately 2 euro, 2.5 euro, if we speak about the Exceller price in Europe. So of course, this price range is only possible for Georgia, Moldova, some wines from Italy, some wines from Ukraine, and some wines from Spain. About 25% of the wines is 5 to 10 euro on the shelf, so two times more expensive, and about 25% is the rest. 10 plus euro. So yeah, we don't, middle range wines are not very, very strong on the market. Going forward, yeah, we can sell like very cheap wines, Georgian, Moldavian, cheapest examples of Italian wine, and it will have huge success. Also, if we speak about the rich people, they like their favorite is Per Tuscan, Bordeaux, Top Burgundy, California, Opus One, Sassicaia, Arnelaia, maybe Left Bank Bordeaux, Top Rioja, Top Ribera, Top Australia is very easy to sell if you know the people, if you know the contact. So I sell it a lot. It's because people can buy it, but the middle class is very small, so we have only like very cheap wines or very expensive wines. The middle is very difficult to sell. For instance, for me, the Barolos and Barbarescas are amazing wines, but this price range is really very difficult for the people, for the market. Going back to the slides, so approximately half of the wines consumed is red wine, almost half is white wine, and the 5% is the rest. 50% is a semi-sweet, examples of cheap Georgian wines. 40% is dry, it's yeah normal, and 10% is semi-dry and sweet. Approximately the situation is so. And the wine consumption is focused mainly on low price semi-sweet and sweet fortified wines, yeah, as I told before, but also ultra premium segment growing. Yeah, it's a good sign for me, at least. So here you can see the type of consumption. So even the people who are Muslim, who can't drink alcohol, sometimes some of them, of course, now it's globalization, sometimes they can drink alcohol. But they will mainly drink at the feasts, at the Kazakhstan feasts. And the name of this feast is Toy. For instance, it's the wedding. People have no money at all for this for these events, and they loan money and they buy a lot of food, they buy a lot of wine, a lot of cheap wine, and they drink. They can drink like I don't know hundreds of liters per one evening, because you know this Kazakhstan toy, it could be 200, 300, 400, 500, any hundred amount of people. So yeah, the consumption of cheap wine is focused on these events, but also. Of course, we have excellent high-end, top-end hotels. And if Kazakhstan's toy celebrated by the rich people, then the situation is more looked like this, very beautiful. And the wines which consumed here is very expensive, and everybody want to order, like, I want the most expensive bottle of wine which you can show me. So yeah, this is the situation. Also, going back to the Arpa wine and to the local producers, we have now for the third year, I think, or the fourth year, we have like a harvest festivals. It's very beautiful. It's European style. And these events can educate people how to drink proper wine in proper way and educate people to understand wine culture. In my opinion, it's very, very important. So, yeah. As I speak about, this is like the one of the best sellers on the market. So we're starting from Georgia, then cheap semi-sweet San Valentin from Torres family, then Sasikaya. The price on the shelf for Sasikaya here in Kazakhstan is 300 euro. I know that in Italy it's like till 150, so two times less. And if we speak about the restaurants, you can find Sasikaya here in Kazakhstan for any price. 400, 500, 600, 700, it doesn't matter for the people. Then goes Opus One, like California, super trendy for the rich people. And then we even have the wines like DRC or Armand Rousseau or like that, like top high-end Burgundy for 5,000, 10,000 euro. So this is the wines of the market. This is the wines which you can sell here in Kazakhstan. The trade, speaking about the trade, again, absence of normal correct statistics. There are no. So I can only try to sum up some information which I have. So we have here very high taxation. So due to this and due to the very difficult and long logistics from the Europe, the price increase could be from ex-seller to the shelf three times or even four times. And if you speak about the restaurants, again, it's seven times, eight times, any times. So for the people who are not rich here, it's very difficult to drink the wine, but situation is stabilizing. Wine market is growing approximately 5% a year, and every year this amount slowly going up. So a few years ago we have 3% growing, and we're expecting that, like, maybe not this year due to COVID, but next years we will have 5% of growing. So the strong beverage going down, and the wine goes up. It's a very good thing for me. The wine market is over-regulated, so the advertisement of alcohol is prohibited now. But now we have some very good signs. So, for instance, the local producers, a few weeks ago, we have new law that the local producers can advertise their products. But it's now only for the locals. But again, it's the start, the beginning. Now there are about 10 major wine import companies, big companies. There are, I think, 20, 30 small companies, but like huge companies, there are only 10 which import European wine and New World wine to the country. Many of them working through the distributors, different parts of the country. And also, speaking about me, I'm very active. I'm the president of Kazakhstan Sommelier Association, and I'm trying to work to educate people to establish the international standards for wine industry workers. When we do a great job, we do the competitions, we do the wine fairs, we do a lot of things to promote wine culture. And in my opinion, it's successful, not very quick, but successful. Yeah, this is our sommelier school where we educate normal people how to drink, how to taste wine. So we have good glasses, we have good water, we have everything good. And we have like the competitions, the sommelier competitions. Here you can see like Anton Hasbiev, the champion, the sommelier, the best sommelier of Kazakhstan of 2012. He is the brand ambassador of a wine import company, huge Alma Wine. Here you can see Diana Nasirova, the best sommelier of the previous year. She's also the brand ambassador, brand manager of local wine import company Monte Bianco, focused on Italy sometimes and on some interesting producers, good quality. And also we have a top-end restaurant, and here you can see Alexander Prashenkov. He is a co-owner and chief cook of a few top-end, high-quality au cuisine restaurants in Almaty. So we have everything to promote wine culture in the future. And going back to the world map, So Kazakhstan and Almaty is situated in the very, very middle, in the heart of the Great Steppe. So the Great Steppe is a steppe which starts from the Pacific Ocean and goes to the Austria. So the Austrian Burgenland is the western part of the Great Steppe. And for the centuries, Great Steppe was like a boiling pot where the different cultures boiled, and there are times of there are good times and there are bad times, but anyway, it was the Silk Road, it was the crossroad of cultures, it was the place where West meets East. And in my opinion, this region, the Great Steppe, so the Kazakhstan, the Kyrgyzstan, the Uzbekistan, Mongolia, western part of China, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, maybe the like southern part of Russia. So this big, this second black ring on the map is the most underrated wine regions, because if we speak about South America, there are wine culture. If we speak North America, of course. If we speak about Europe, definitely. We speak about Africa, where it's possible, it's developed. Thinking about Western Cape or Morocco or Tunisia or Algeria, there are wine culture, there are wine production, and there are wine consumption. Even if it's focused on the tourists only, but there is. And if we speak about the Middle Asia, about Central Asia, there are almost nothing. Yeah, and I'm almost. And I'm finished. So thank you, and see you in Almaty. Here you can see my contacts, and you can write me, and I will try to answer you, not quickly, but I will try to do it. And yeah, we have some questions, and if there are, I can answer it, but I can see.
Artem, we got one some questions you already answered during the presentation, talking about restriction on alcohol selling rules or local wine consumption relationship with the other beverages. You gave many information. We got a couple of questions. One is a suggestion on how to approach Kazakhstan market from an Italian winery with medium price wines. You can say a few words on this.
Yeah, I have the question for me, and the answer is very simple. We need to educate people, and this is my main purpose. So when I explain to people that you can spend 20, 30, 40% more on the bottle of wine, but if you understand about the region, if you understand about the producer, if you understand about the terroir, the grapes, blah, 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 etc., then you can receive a lot of more pleasure from this bottle. So me personally, I'm trying to make people spending a little bit more every day. So less amount of consumption, but more quality. And I see that people going from cheap Pinot Grigio to Soave, then to Gabi, then to Verdicchio Castelli Diesi, and then to some top producers of white wine. So it's possible. It's very difficult, but it's possible to do. In my opinion, it is so.
And another question is about food and wine pairing culture. There's a question about this. If people in Kazakhstan are experienced, are interested in pairing, or they're just, you know,
you know, the local terroir is the steppe. So the main friend of the local people from the centuries, for the centuries, was the horses. So the horse meat is the main product. Of course, we have some rivers, some sea, so there are fish, there are something else, but the horse meat and the meat at all is the main product. So yeah, there are a strong culture of drinking red wine with meat, and it's very good. It's like in Valpolicella, where Amarone and horse meat is also historically very famous. So we're trying to promote it here. But, you know, people enjoy food and wine pairing now only in very simple way. So no high cuisine, but the simplest, like steak and red wine with the tannins.
Thank you so much for your presentation. And I'm sure we will come soon to visit the country. I've been there sometimes, and it's been a very interesting visit for me, and I really hope that there can be a huge development of wine culture in our country, so we will be able to come more and more several times.
And also, I can maybe help to you and to other producers to build an image here of the brand here in Kazakhstan, because I'm very big fan of Italian wines, wines from Campania also.
Thank you so much. And yeah, about the other questions on the chat, we will be able to send more answers, of course. The presentation was enough clear on several aspects. So I think that many people will have now a more a clearer situation of that market and of that country, of course, and of the wine culture that is present currently, and that we really hope that can be developed more and more, thanks to your association of sommelier, of course.
We're trying to do our best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you on another session, probably. And good luck and good work.
Thank you. You too. Have a good day.
Bye.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.